The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
I knew you'd come.
Delete!
Bring Freddy Krueger's world, Elm Street. We want to see Bray Wyatt's version of the Boiler Room.
My name is Dario Cueto. My relationship with the wrestlers is very special.
And he's hanging out with Mascarita Sagrada in what looks like his basement. And then his mom shows up with bagel bites. It's glorious.
Oh, that's awesome.
We are scientifically proven to be the best tag team, and not just in NXT, not just in the WWE, but in the entire universe.
Another wrestler just went through a tough thing. You see Paige, the wrestler Paige.
Oh man, I just heard about her. I love her, man. I got nothing to say but positive things about her.
What would you say to the kind of scumbag that would put that out, you know, and do that to a woman, you know?
I like the bitch slap in front of everybody. How's that? You know, I mean, she's a sweetheart, man.
Well, I mean, like whoever did this, you know, what is your thing to them? Like, would you say to come out? And like,
I just wanted to go away because she's a good lady, man. Paige, I was bummed out when she hurt her neck like that. So, you know, hopefully she'll be back. And hey, it is what it is, bro.
Do you think that, you know, like by doing that, it doesn't take away from the momentum of women's wrestling?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think women's wrestling right now is super solid.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max, episode 239, part 2. And boy, do we have a show for you tonight. We've got lots of big news topics when it comes to the world of wrestling. And plus, we're going to jump into some Impact Wrestling. That's right, their TV taping this week was pretty interesting. We'll be getting into all that and more, as well as crowning a superstar of the week. So you guys have a great story, basically a story ahead of you, because trust me, there's plenty of them. And not only that, a great show. But, you know, just in case you need to know where to go find more of our great content, make sure you don't forget W2Mnet.com, where you go find all those written reviews and, of course, all these podcasts that you like to listen to. Also, don't forget, you know, to go rate and review us on iTunes, Wrestling to the Max. That's the place you go and do that. Also, you know, the W2M Network also needs some love, too. So, hey, hit them both up. Go give them 5 stars and put your comments there. That way everybody can see them and, you know, maybe understand why you like to listen to us. That just kind of helps us out, gives us a boost, and we appreciate everybody that's already done it and everybody that's going to do it. But, of course, I'm your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Hey-o.
And Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And it sounds like a much healthier Sean today. I am so happy you're feeling better, Sean.
I am happy as well. So I've had to work with this being sick for like a week now. And at one point I thought I had walking pneumonia, and it seems like it has died down a little bit. So... that's good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to go to the hospital.
No. Stay away from there. Trust me. Yeah, that is not good. But, you know, it's good that you're back and feeling better. And now you can, you know, now go to work and hopefully have a little bit more peace than being miserable. Because trust me, I've been to work when I'm sick, and it is the worst thing ever. It is like dragging yourself across the floor wherever you're at just to do anything. So. But yeah, we've got a big show ahead for everybody, and so I think we should go ahead and jump into it. We got a lot of quick hits tonight, and some very intense ones, and some very interesting ones as well, so don't miss a minute of it. Let's go ahead and do it now. Let's do some quick hits.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
Alrighty.
Alrighty, let's get into this thing, and let's talk about something that I really don't want to talk about because it's awfully depressing, but I think it's the topic of the wrestling world right now, and it's, man, it's a sad, sad day. And we've been talking about professional wrestlers passing away on a regular basis. It's every week. That's all we talk about. Tonight is not one of those nights, but it is someone associated to a Hall of Famer, and that Hall of Famer happens to be Jim Ross. And sadly, this week, his wife has passed away. And if you, you know, listen to episode one, Sean broke the news. And as we were going on with the podcast, broke the news that JR's wife, Jan Ross, had got into an accident and she was in a serious situation. Well, that serious situation was that she had multiple skull fractures. She had been in an accident with another vehicle. She was riding a Vespa and the other vehicle hit her from behind. She was knocked off her vehicle and not wearing a helmet, which was a big part of this because, you know, word out there is that if she would have been wearing a helmet, she probably would have, you know, been a lot better off than she ended up being in the situation medically she was. And they had her on life support, and just sadly, she passed away. So this is, you know, a big bummer, and I know people hate to hear this. And maybe, you know, you're out there saying, man, I just, you know, it's not a wrestler. Why are you – this is a big deal because I think it's close to a lot of our hearts. We've heard about accidents. Not only that, you know, Jim Ross is kind of – it's almost like an uncle to me. I get, you grew up with him, and you just, you know, you feel for the guy. And not only that, I'm married now. And I know if this was me and this happened to my wife, I would be so – I wouldn't be on this podcast, I tell you that. I would definitely be far, far away from this show. So, I mean, Paul, I mean, this is just tough. I hate to hear it. This is sad, sad news.
The yeah, I mean, like you said, it's hard to have a connection to somebody you've never met before, but you still feel bad for JR. And if you follow just anybody related to WWE on Twitter or Facebook or any real social media account, the outpouring of support and just how lovely a person she was and how great their relationship was and all these other things that just came flooding out after it was announced was really heartwarming. Obviously, she touched a lot of lives, and certainly best wishes to JR and the entire Ross family and everything like that. But it's rough. Real rough. I think they were married, what, 30 something years? A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since the WCW days, right? I mean, and that's what I was reading his blog, that he had been married 21 years when he was a part of WWE, but he met her in WCW.
Yeah, and that she was basically like, you know, his strength, his everything, and that's got to be so rough for him. You know, it's just, that's, I mean, because she's dealt with a lot with JR, you know, being on the road and the Bell's palsy and all the, you know, things throughout the years. And just, that's rough now. And, you know, JR has to go home and she's not there. You know, it's just, man. Like Paul said, and nobody had anything but wonderful words to say about the woman, and just condolences go out to her family and JR, and just, man, that just, that really sucks for him, man.
Yeah, you know, and as, you know, wrestling fans, we feel sympathy for these people because, like I was mentioning about JR, feeling like an uncle, you know, feeling like they're part of your family. They're in your home every week, every Monday night, every, you know, Thursday night, whatever. I mean, heck, I mean, now with the internet, they're 7 days a week, you know, multiple hours a day in your home with you, right? And you get that connection with them, and you just get so attached, and it hurts when they hurt, I think, sometimes. And I think, like I mentioned before, you know, being in the same situation, not totally. I mean, Jim Ross was with his wife for so much longer than I've been even with my wife currently. And so that's just awful to hear. This lady, you know, she opened her house up to all the wrestlers that, you know, Jim Ross had come around. You know, he was head of talent relations in WWE for a long time. And so that meant a lot of people would come to their house and she'd wash their clothes, she'd feed them, do all, you know, so she was basically a mama hen to a lot of people too. So this is not just affecting, you know, a select few. This is affecting a lot of people. And you know, it's just a sad, sad day. And it's a sad day too because of the fact that this probably could have been all avoided. And so I hope that's a lesson to all of us to understand that, you know, we've got to take precautions for a reason. And just, oh, man. And not only that, a 17-year-old kid hit her. So you got to think about that young man tonight, thinking about, you know, he killed somebody. And not maybe not on purpose. Maybe he was just being a teenager and driving fast, or maybe wasn't paying attention, maybe been texting. I don't know. I don't know anything he was doing. All I know is that's a heavy burden to carry for any guy that's 17 years old. I'll tell you that. That's a terrible thing. So, you know, my prayers go out to him as well. I know this was an accident, but oh man. So, well, let's move on to some other news. I mean, we just want to kind of break that, you know, give people a little bit more information about that stuff, and you know, best wishes to the Ross family. Let's talk about WWE and Ring of Honor. And we're getting reports and some rumors out there that WWE wants to buy Ring of Honor. Then we're getting some other reports. It's not maybe a buyout or anything like that. It's they want to have a partnership with Ring of Honor, maybe get some of the, you know, tape library over to the network, or maybe even have some of their episodes, you know, air on the network. So this is a deal that I think could be interesting because of the fact that you do have a lot of former Ring of Honor talent on the roster currently. I mean, you got Seth Rollins, you got Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, the list goes on. Sean, how much do you think this could be actually a possibility? Do you think this is just talks that never go anywhere? Where do you stand on this?
I mean, this could just be talks that don't go anywhere. It could be just much, very much like the Impact one, where WWE kind of is just talking to see how much all this would cost. Would Sinclair be willing to offer any kind of buyout, and how much the tape library is, and all that kind of stuff? We know that's what WWE wants, is tape library, and that they also kind of want to lessen the amount of promotions that are available for other people to go to, right? So that they don't have to compete with them for talent. Because not everybody is like Progress or ICW or some of the other ones that want to be friendly with WWE, you know, Evolve. And so WWE's also trying to kind of cut out some of the competition. But I don't blame them. That's smart for WWE. Doesn't mean that it's good for wrestling as a whole, but it's smart for WWE to do. You know, who knows? This is one of those things that, look, you know, tomorrow it could come out that everything's dead and we're talking about this for nothing, or that talks are even more progressive at this point. But there is talks about, it's not just about the library. It's not just about putting ROH stuff on the network. It is about buying the company itself. You know, some of them are about whether they would keep airing ROH and letting maybe perhaps some of its unused NXT talent show up on there, or if they would just shut it down like they were going to do with Impact and just, you know, take the contracts they want, and then, you know, or the other people would be out of a job or whatever. But, you know, losing promotions is never good for wrestling. It's just, you got to think about it, though. You know, Sinclair, although they upped the production value of the TV show, or, you know, of the set and everything, they really, other than signing talent and stuff like that, it's not like they've really put their full force behind ROH. They just, it's still kind of just a thing that's there for them.
It's very true. And they've cycled the show around. They've put it on different networks that they own, all these different things. If it is to work in partnership with WWE, that's going to create a lot of interesting problems. If it's to buy them out completely, that's going to create a lot of interesting problems. The other way, and both the ways I'm talking about is with New Japan. clearly, I don't think you can really argue. New Japan is the second largest promotion in the world. They're trying to make inroads here to America. Shutting down Ring of Honor sort of closes out a way for them to keep doing shows over here and showcasing their talent and all these other things. And if you buy them out, then, you know, obviously they're still losing out, but at least other people in the States would still have a place to work, or if it's unused NXT talent, or if it's about creating a smaller brand in opposition to NXT or whatever they're going to do with this. I have to think that maybe New Japan's relationship with the Ring of Honor is something that WWE is interested in severing.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a big, important piece of this puzzle. And I'm thinking that that's something that I really was not, you know, even considering. So I think that that's for all the reasons you guys just said, a lot of reasons why this would be a positive move for WWE. The reason I'm not sold on this actually happening is for that Sinclair reason, because I think Sinclair has invested so much, you know, and I think they want to see it through. And I don't know that they're ready to, you know, kind of cut that cord and let, you know, Ring of Honor be a part of something else and then just run with, you know, just normal TV programming. But that's just me thinking about it. I don't know. I'm not an executive at Sinclair. I don't know what their thought processes are. I do look at this, though, as being, a, you know, something that if it did take place, it would not only benefit WWE for the fact of, you know, cutting that New Japan line of talent, but it's also a situation where they can finally get the full story, or most of the story, of some of these guys that they have working for them. Like, you know, think of the Seth Rollins DVD package, how great it would be to have that Ring of Honor stuff, right? Think of how Samoa Joe and how much more round, you know, well-rounded we could look at him and different guys like that. I mean, I just think it would be so special. I think it would add so much to the stories. Just kind of like we talked about Impact when we were talking about that possibility, how that tape library has so much and so many good matches. I mean, think about Kurt Angle. What if, you know, they had the Impact library? Man, Kurt Angle, you would never miss a step with his career. You'd always have right. those big matches, right? So right now, if you have a DVD package of Kurt Angle, there's a huge gap. It's from, you know, oh, look how good he was. He, you know, was, and then all of a sudden, wait, what, the man, what happened to him? Did he disappear? So I don't know. This could be a good thing for Ring of Honor, but I think for the most part, I think this is just talk. Don't think it's going to happen. I really, really don't. I think it's going to have some dire consequences for Ring of Honor to say, yeah, we got to do this. Everything's going bad. We've lost all our talent. We've got to do this. I don't think that's happening just yet. So that's just me, though.
You know, I do think that we should put that out there, that I don't know that it's not a possibility that New Japan and ROH sever ties when New Japan makes their inroads here. Because eventually that would be competing with ROH itself. So, you know, would that cause problems between the two? We'll have to see. But, you know, they could also use ROH talent to have more American guys there or whatever. But we'll definitely see what happens once New Japan hits that first show here in July, and once they start making that base to try to make inroads in the U.S.
Yeah, I don't know if ROH is interested in severing the relationship with New Japan if they do stay a Sinclair entity, just because I think so much of what keeps people involved in looking at Ring of Honor is the New Japan talent. We see it every time they incorporate them in a pay-per-view or anything like that, and just because New Japan's over here running two shows this year, I don't think it's going to have a lot of short-term, you know, problems for the relationship. They're going to view it as, hey, look, there's more people out there going to see these shows. We can advertise here too. Maybe they'll start watching us too, and all these other different things that can go across both ways. And if New Japan has its way and eventually sets up a sort of feeder promotion over here that runs the States, having a promotional tie to Ring of Honor does open up, as Sean said, a lot of other talents that you could use for those shows. And I think, you know, that's a win-win for Ring of Honor. making bigger stars works out better for you too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. So, you know, we're talking about talent and talking about promotions and moving things around. Well, there is an official part of this because guess what? The Impact Wrestling Group and, of course, ITV have made it official. They are now partnered up, and the World of Sport, when it comes out on May 25th and 26th, when they have their first tapings, Impact Wrestling will be a part of that. So that's a good deal for Anthem. You know, they have this, you know, situation kind of locked up, and, you know, especially on the UK's, you know, one of their biggest networks when it comes to television. So this is a great deal for them.
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett is executive producer. There's some other people involved on the Anthem side in all this too. It's a 10-episode series so far is what they've been picked up for. Tapings are taking place on the 25th and 26th. They're still using everything from the first show that they did, so Grado's still going to be the champion. You're going to have all these other different people in play. Something to look forward to. I don't know how big the talent roster is going to expand or anything like that, or how many Impact guys you see on there or what. As you know, I'm sure details of that will come forward as we get closer to those dates. But it is officially a thing, and you can go see it. So if you're in England.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We talked about this, the preliminaries of this already before, but just a cool deal for Impact, getting their name out there in the UK again, and getting this World of Sport deal off the ground, and hey, more things for people to do, right? And watch.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I just think it's exciting, and we'll have to see how this continues to go down. I think, once again, I mean, the opportunity for Anthem to get into the UK audience and really showcase some of their superstars and, you know, really get the name out about Impact Wrestling, I just think this is going to do them a world of good. So we shall see how things take place. Kane has filed paperwork, apparently, for a run for an office, and that is, of course, in Knox County, where he presides. He wants to be mayor. That's what he's running for, which is why, basically, we haven't seen him around lately.
Yeah, I mean, he's talked about wanting to do political stuff for a very long time, so good on him, and you know, he's reaching the end of his career in wrestling. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Kane say this is something he's wanted to do for a while, and yeah, more power to him. Great stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope it works out for him. You know, we know he'll run as a libertarian. That only matters when it comes to mayor. But I think it's kind of cool that, you know, he's at least getting a shot at some kind of political office. And you guys just said it. He's wanted to do this for a long time. We just saw Rhino try to get, you know, a little political here and run himself. And he wasn't as successful, but I think Kane, you know, he's a different kind of cat, and I think he's got the charisma to probably pull it off and get people behind him. So we'll see. Super smart guy, apparently. A lot of people talk about how backstage he is super smart, and that probably will win over a lot of votes. Alberto El Patron, apparently, is pulled out of WrestleCon, and this is because of all the situations going down, of course, with his fiance Paige. And so, man, I mean, this is a sad situation for a lot of fans. I know a lot of fans are probably looking forward to seeing him there, but I think he, you know, feels he needs to be home with Paige.
I think it lends a lot of credence to the mental issues that people are her dad and other folks have said that she's currently going under. And I mean, good on him for wanting to be with Paige in this time and all that good stuff, but very interesting that this continues to have sort of riptide effect on more than just Paige's WWE career.
Yeah, good to hear that, you know, he's going to be with her and everything. And it's still sad that we're having to deal with, you know, Paige still going through this. And who knows how long this is going to be a deal for her. You know, hopefully she can recover and everything. And Yeah, there was, since the last time we did the show, I think there was, I think by the time we had done the show, I said Caitlyn had been leaked in Rhea, and then they've also leaked a bunch of pictures of Melina and Victoria as well, and then I think that they kind of ended after that. So, sadly, more people got affected, but it seems like they've kind of gotten a handle on things, and it's at the finishing line at this point. We don't have to, you know, deal with this any more stuff coming out for a while.
Yeah, that's a more of a positive thing for, you know, especially those young ladies, because, you know, this is not something that's, you know, really helping them, let's be honest.
Well, and I'm sure for WWE, you know, they didn't want anything else to come out from anybody else that's active on the roster, and luckily for them, you know, a majority of it, aside from Paige, was women that are no longer with the company, so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Maria's already been in Playboy before, so I don't think that's going to really affect her if she does decide to show up, which, again, I saw reports today of that Maria and Mike Bennett might show up in WWE, so, wow. You know.
That could be some interesting news. You know, I would be more surprised if they were taking Mike Bennett, to be honest with you. I could see them taking her.
He could be decent for NXT. I don't know what he really would do on the main roster, but, you know, Maria, we haven't really seen her wrestle in a long time, so that's the thing. If they're trying to create another sort of Miz, Maurice sort of situation, then okay. But, like, Mike Bennett is nowhere near the Miz as far as great promo work, and I would still say the Miz is better at ring work than Mike Bennett too, so, you know, whatever, but I could definitely see Maria with her promo work getting the ire of some NXT fans for sure.
Oh yeah, I could understand.
I mean, you never know, right? Like, we've seen people that we say, oh man, they're not that good, and they come to NXT and you go, oh my god, wow, they got better, right? And then there's people that come and they're already great and somehow they don't do so well in NXT, so you never know until you get there.
Very yeah. True.
I don't know, I mean, I think that, you know, there could be some good possibilities there. I look at the fact that I think, you know, when we're talking about the main roster, when Maria could be a part, come in and maybe, you know, join that SmackDown crew and do, you know, maybe even join up with Mickie James or something like that. Whereas, you know, you throw Bennett in there, he's just as good for NXT, but that main roster would be a stretch, you know. So they'd definitely be on different schedules. I don't know. It's just kind of looking out the outside, looking in. But yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, I hope that works out, and we'll see. There's another person that will not be returning to WWE, and that's Shawn Michaels. Yeah, that's a big shocker, huh? Well, you know, believe it or not, WWE really felt like that at WrestleMania 33, they could get Shawn Michaels to face AJ Styles. Guess what? Didn't work. Even though they tried to do it, it just was not going to work for Shawn Michaels. He said he's done, and he means it. That's a shame. How much would we have loved to have seen this take place?
Oh, what could have been. Sean talked about this on a podcast that he did, and apparently he also said that if AJ had gotten there 10 years sooner, he would have jumped on in a heartbeat.
That's sad. I really would have thought maybe AJ Styles would have been a match that Shawn Michaels would have come out of retirement for, but, you know, again, kudos to him for saying he's retired and staying retired and meaning it, you know, and not just coming back for a one match here and one match there, and so, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's just a bummer, you know. But I'm sure that this card could have used it for sure, looking at it now. I mean, I would have loved to have seen that take place. But, you know, at least, you know, if you have, you know, those WWE video games, you can go, you know, make that match happen right now at your disposal. So go do that. But talking about some, you know, stuff going on with WrestleMania, you got to talk about the Hall of Fame, right? And you got to talk about the inductees and the people inducting those people. Natalya is going to be inducting Beth Phoenix, and then you also have Diamond Dallas Page be inducted by Eric Bischoff. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, realistically, I think there are only two people that made sense for Beth, and that would have been Edge or Natalya. And I think Natalya is a great pick, somebody who they worked very closely with for a long time and all that other stuff. And Bischoff and Page seems a little off to me, but I mean, obviously nobody was working closer with DDP during the time than Eric Bischoff, and if Randy Savage was still with us, I would have voted for him in our heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that they kind of picked for inducting makes sense, so I don't really have a problem either way. Natalya inducting Beth makes total sense. You know, they were the Divas of Doom. And you had the, you know, Eric Bischoff inducting DDP makes a lot of sense as well. So I'm all for that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think these are bad choices at all. I mean, Natalya, you just pointed out, you know, being with Beth Phoenix and all that kind of stuff. I think Edge may have wanted to do it, maybe been, you know, been her personal choice. But I think WWE, and once again, you know, they said, well, we know, how would you feel about someone having our current, you know, roster? You know, it really would help us out. I'm sure that's how that conversation went down. And Eric Bischoff is a little bit of a shock for me for Diamond Dallas Page. I know that maybe, you know, WWE's like, you know, Jake the Snake, we've already seen him enough times. We don't need him. You know, we've seen Scott Hall. We don't need him. You know, can you commit somebody else? And I think they kind of wanted to tie in the history. So that makes sense. Just, I think both those names here, DDP and, of course, Beth Phoenix, may have had other choices in mind, but maybe not. I don't know. We're getting some big, you know, rumors going around the internet and, of course, all around the wrestling world that the Hardys have been offered a contract by WWE, and this is official, they say. So they're still, you know, debating what they're going to do, but, I mean, if WWE's, you know, basically made it known, we want you, I mean, this has got to be interesting news going around. What do you think about this, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, this has been flying around a lot this week that it's apparently official. I'm still calling them rumors because we haven't heard anything, I think, from anybody super high up in the rumor food chain. So the Hardys have said, however, that their run in Ring of Honor is short term. So I have to think that they had WWE in mind and negotiations had started well before that. So. I mean, if they end up coming back, the legal struggles with Impact, I'm sure, will be something that puts a crimp in the style, or if they're even allowed to do the broken thing on the main roster. So, lots of question marks over them when they do sign, or if they do sign.
Yeah, again, it sucks that they probably won't be able to do the broken thing on WWE due to the Impact legal mumbo jumbo, but I think having them back, period, is a great thing. You know, and that's a big deal in itself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think they would definitely get more than just a glory run, like, you know, the Dudleys did. They, you know, Jeff still has a bit left in the tank. You know, it's Matt. It's going to hurt Matt more, obviously, because he'll come back just kind of like, oh, it's Matt Hardy again. And are people going to really care about Matt without the broken gimmick? But we'll see. But certainly, even in singles matches, I think these guys have stuff to give. And that's going to be cool to see. Obviously, you know, you won't get King Maxwell or Revy or Senior Benjamin, but you got the Hardys, and that's good enough. I forgot to mention that, you know, Jim Cornette inducting the Rock and Roll Express is absolutely amazing. Just because Jim Cornette with a live mic. Let's see what happens.
You know, Jim Cornette on his podcast said that he was really mad that he got asked to be, or at least he got an invitation to do this.
What an asshole! Seriously! What an asshole! That dude needs to get over himself.
Well, I mean, the honest reason is because WWE proved him wrong. Because he said, first of all, the Rock and Roll Express was never going to get into the Hall of Fame. And then he says there's no way in, you know, the world that they're going to invite him to do the induction. Both happened. Now he's sitting there saying, man, I thought I was right, but now I'm not. So it's funny to me that he would use that, but, I mean, there you go. I mean, WWE's actually taking a risk on this guy, and, you know, hopefully he doesn't take advantage of this. I know he probably will, but I just hope that he's just, like, respectful and makes it about the Rock and Roll Express, not about him hating Kevin Owens or the Young Bucks or anything else, you know?
You know, hopefully. When you're there, though, sometimes you get back in the spirit of being with the company and everything, and who knows, you know, he might find himself with an NXT job or something before he knows it.
Yeah, you know, maybe, you never know. The one thing I love is that, you know, Kevin Owens kind of responded to, you know, this news that he was going to be inducting in. And Paul, you meant to correct me on what he said, but I just know that he says that, yeah, that's great. I get this chance to see him there. Maybe he can induct me to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's something along the lines of, I can't wait for him to induct me.
It's great. So go check out that quote. If anybody wants to actually get the actual words that came out of that tweet, go find it. It's hilarious. So, but yeah.
Kenny King is going to be on the Bachelorette.
Really?
Yes. Because they're having the first ever African American Bachelorette, he is going to be one of the bachelors trying to pursue her.
Well, Sean, you need to let me know how that works out.
I'm not watching it, so.
Come on. If there's anybody that I thought would watch it, Sean, usually.
I watch Top Chef. I don't watch The Bachelor.
Oh, man.
I like cooking. I don't care about watching The Bachelor, all that stuff. Yeah. You know.
Well, that's good news, at least. Kenny King's got something going on. So. Did you have anything else to say about that?
I was going to ask. Do you guys worry at all about Nakamura being added to the NXT tour thing? Meltzer says it's because the tour was doing really bad, and so they felt like they had to add Nakamura so that the tickets would sell. But do you think that that affects his, whether he wants up on the main roster after WrestleMania or not? Or
we've seen them do this before, as far as letting guys work to both NXT and the main roster. They did this with Kevin Owens for a little bit too, and maybe just to sort of ease the process of changing over for bringing Shinsuke up, they let him do this. And I can believe maybe that ticket sales weren't doing so well just because he wasn't on the show, and he's a large draw for NXT right now. They haven't really had anybody to come in and fill that role like they did whenever Finn left. Like, Shinsuke was right there. So it might be a little rough for NXT as far as touring outside the country, but I could definitely buy that this is the reason why they put him on the tour.
I mean, it is a little alarming. You do have to kind of put that in the back of your mind and think, oh, man, they're just not going to push the button and let this happen, let him go to the main roster. But I think, like Paul said, I mean, really, they've kind of done this before. It kind of helps, and they could take the Band-Aid off, just peel it very slowly.
Just a couple more things. There's apparently a report out from Brandon Howard, who does great things with numbers as far as, you know, getting actual statistics out there and stuff for, you know, like Raw ratings and things like that. Well, he has a report from the Arlington Police Department, the Arlington, Texas Police Department, that the Actual number of people who went through the turnstiles at AT&T Stadium for WrestleMania last year was 80,000 people, which is obviously well under the 101,000 number that WWE used. You know, this is, of course, just using the paid number. The stadium itself said that there was around 98,000 people in the building. But, you know, it's within that range or whatever, so this is starting to become a WrestleMania 3 situation where, you know, WWE reported 93,000 people, but it was really like 80,000 people. So, just wanted to throw that out there, that perhaps, it's still a lot of people, regardless. I mean, that stadium was still immensely full and everything, but, you know, WWE likes to upsell their numbers, obviously.
Yeah. Well, you can't blame them. I mean, other, you know, organizations do the same thing. You know, I'm sure some of the other, you know, big sporting events, the Final Four, the Super Bowl, I'm sure they throw some numbers out there that may or may not be official, you know. So, and I don't blame Vince at all. I mean, he wanted to have the, you know, the biggest WrestleMania of all time and all that kind of stuff, the most people in an event. So, I, you know, inflating the numbers makes sense. But, I mean, still, it's still a record for them, even if it is under what they said it was. So, I think it's cool, though, to kind of find out what the actual turnstile number is. That's kind of neat that you get that, you know.
There's going to be some more UK wrestlers working the fan access events over WrestleMania weekend. Jimmy Havoc, Mark Haskins, TK Cooper, Travis Banks, Dahlia Black, and Tony Storm and Jenny will also be working fan access. So, of course, Tony Storm, big in Stardom. So, and some others big in Progress and other places, but Paul probably knows more about them than I do.
Yeah, most of those are Progress names. Jimmy Havoc, probably especially the most relatable one, although Mark Haskins, a close second. A lot of the female talent on there, especially Dahlia Black, is another big Progress head. So I think it's more about them using the relationships they already have. I've also heard rumors that they're going to have the UK title defended on Access, and as well as Trent Seven defending the Insane Championship Wrestling title against Lionheart, and some of the more, I don't want to say outlandish rumors, but probably a little bit outlandish. They're using this as, you know, these guys are already going to be over here, especially a lot of the Progress guys, as they're running a show in conjunction with WWN Live. Over at that side, as well as doing the super show with Evolve. So a lot of those guys are going to be over there. Why not use them if you have them under contract?
Right. Yeah, there's no word on if any of those that I mentioned signed or anything or would sign, but you never know once they work. Yeah, they could get offered deals and see what happens, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really cool. You know, we have it. All right. Well, we have one more piece of news before we get out of here. And really quickly, I want everybody to know that Kyle O'Reilly has officially signed with Evolve. So, I mean, how do you feel about this?
Yeah. Rumored Monday, signed today. There you go. I mean, it's a great fit for him. Lots of great wrestlers over there to work from. So, I mean, Evolve is very quickly becoming a hot spot for people to come work. And you look at the talent roster they have now, it's pretty much stacked top to bottom with already established indie talent, as well as a lot of great people that Gabe has come across and started pushing. So,
yeah, certainly. I mean, WWE connection also helps that you kind of mm-hmm. get your foot in the door there as well. It's like the friendly place to sign if you want to get WWE to look at you, and I think Kyle O'Reilly kind of knew that if you want to go there, this might be where you want to go as far as start working, and that's going to be really cool to see Kyle O'Reilly getting to work with some of the talent there.
Yeah, for sure. So, really exciting stuff, and see what happens with him in the near future, and I'm looking forward to seeing him work and evolve. Well, that is our quick hits, guys. We will be, of course, you know, giving you some other great news next week. But now we're going to move on to our next segment, and we are going to be getting into some Impact Wrestling. Of course, if you've heard, you know, our former Impact Wrestling conversations, you know, there's lots of interesting things that either hate or love. So now you'll get to find out this week what we feel about this one. So let's do that right now. Impact Wrestling.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's okay. We have the, you know, music. That's a Spreaker, you know, one thing you need to do is fix this app. Why does it not work? Why does the studio not work when it comes to saving music?
I think it just has a certain number of things now that you can only have in there. And once you get past that number, it freaks out and starts deleting stuff because, you know, we have other shows on that I have to do during the week with people.
Yeah.
Or have to produce them for them. And when I have to put their stuff in there, I forget that it takes our stuff off. So, you know.
It happens. All right, well, let's just jump into it then. Let's do this cold. Let's talk Impact.
All right, so Impact Wrestling here. We started off with the Lone Wolf, Davey Richards. Well, you know, you couldn't have taken another name or anything. There's another Lone Wolf, much bigger than Davey Richards, somewhere else, but that's okay. The Natural Born Killers of Angelina Love and Davey Richards. That's, alright. But, you know, Richards and Suicide have a good match. I thought it was, well done for the most part, and you get your Davey Richards winning, which you kind of expect at this point, considering he's the one in the storyline, so there you go.
A very fine opener. I had no problems with this, especially them starting with a match. It felt different. It felt nice. I really wish they would do this more often. And, yeah, I mean, Davey Richards getting a strong win here to keep going and all that good stuff. And there we go.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't have any qualms with it either. I mean, it was fine. I think, in a way, it's kind of cool to see the Suicide character back. You know, we kind of talked about him a little bit last week. But, you know, in this singles match, you get a little bit more focus on him. It's fine. You know, I think overall, they're still trying to get this whole Angelina Love and, you know, Eddie, excuse me. Now I'm already forgetting his name. Davey Richards. I keep thinking Eddie Edwards for some reason. Davey Richards. You know, they still have that thing going on, and they're trying to keep pushing that along. So it is what it is. You know, not a bad way to start the show.
Yeah, we have this happens, I think, like once or twice with a video from the LAX Clubhouse with Conan talking to Ortiz and Mike Drastic. He wants Ortiz and Drastic to bring them to LAX as they are going to be in a match later on here against the DCC, which goes about 11 minutes. I thought the match was fine. It was much more about the breakup of DCC than it was about LAX, really. LAX did get some good tags in there to show that they're more cohesive and everything, which that was a story. And then James Storm winds up leaving LAX, so, or not LAX, DCC, after Bram kind of sort of sides with Kingston. And yeah, looks like the Cowboy is back.
The LAX stuff was fine, right? I mean, they're establishing them as a new force. They get a win. I don't know if I call it a big win, but it's a win over Death Count Council here. Storm going off on his own. It's fine, I guess. I'm much more interested in what they're going to do with Brandon and Kingston. Kingston also has a outside TNA connection with Homicide, so maybe ending up over there could be good for him, too.
That could be interesting to see that take place. You know, I want to say this, LEX, they did a good job of that whole video package, you know, with Conan running the show, talking about everything, and giving his explanations about those tag titles, right? So that, you know, the Impact came to take our titles away in Mexico. Well, guess what? We're coming to, you know, to take theirs. And I like that. It felt powerful. It sounded important. It was very much kind of like a vendetta type thing. So I think it actually made me feel more like, hey, LAX is, you know, not just, you know, here to be eye candy for everybody. Oh, man, remember back when LAX did this, when LAX did that? Now, you know, they put a voice behind this group, and I think it's good. I think it, you know, kind of gives people that maybe not have a history with LAX in the past, gets them interested in what's going on. Why should we care about these guys? Kind of gave you a reason. So, very good. The match itself was what it was. It was, you know, nothing super crazy awesome. It was fine. James Storm leaving, I figured that group was going to break up eventually. And I think the writing was on the wall. They were not going to allow them to do anything. And the DCC sucks anyway. So this is good riddance. I'm happy, happy, happy that the DCC is no more. It makes me thrilled.
Yeah, Bram and Kingston being a tag team, I think, is better than just and having Storm be by himself.
Do you have any concerns about Storm by himself, though? Only because of the fact that really, you know, Jeff Jarrett, unless he's a friend of his, he's probably going to put him on the jobbing side of town. I don't know. I have a lot of fear for poor James Storm.
I don't. I'm still upset I've seen him on TV every week.
I was waiting for that.
I know. Paul's like, keep him in Impact because, you know, he's going to go back to NXT if not.
I tell him to stay in NOAH, but I watched that too, so.
He's a veteran hand. I mean, look, he's done all he's going to do in TNA at this point. I'm sorry, James Storm, but you made the wrong decision. I don't know what to tell you. Just say it in NXT when you had the chance. I want to go ahead and get this garbage out of the way. Your women's segment for the week is just going absolutely backwards. So the entire time, there's two segments here, but one of them relates to the main thing. So they're revealing this. There's a woman in a limo, and you know they have a guy guarding it and whatever. And JB makes a big deal about their who it is. So Josh Matthews, every time there's a woman that comes out, well, there's the she and whoever. And so, you know, you do have Laurel cut a promo on everybody. And then Sienna comes out and says, you shouldn't hate Maria and you shouldn't hate, you know, whoever else because they did great things for you. You need to hate Allie. You need to hate Braxton Sutter for what they did to you. But you need to get yourself together and take a shower. Thought that was kind of funny. Aside from that, you did have, you had two returns here. Revel came back, which I don't think anybody was asking for her to come back at all. And then ODB comes back, and they have a match, and well, you know, ODB and Revel having a match, boy, let me tell you, just garbage. Oof. Can you just throw it in the dumpster? Because this was bad. And then not to mention that, you have to have stupid stuff with, let me kiss Earl Hebner. It's just like, oh, God.
You know what? I think I'm really just on my own level here of weirdness or maybe thought processes. This match is like proof to me that maybe Jeff Jarrett has his friends and then he has his people that are just there working for him. And it's like, Hebner, you're my buddy. And Hebner's like, he's like, Hebner, what do you want to do? Give me something. I'll give you anything. He's like, oh, well, I don't know. I'm 70 something. I want to make out with all the chicks. Okay, sure. You can do it. And he gives him whoever he gives him. It's almost like that because this is so stupid. What was the reason in this? Like, I don't see it. Like, he basically assaulted someone right in front of our face. Rebel did not ask for that, right? I don't remember any part.
I mean, but ODB then assaults him, I guess, so.
And, yeah, you know, it is what it is, but still doesn't make it right. So I just thought that was a little ridiculous. I did not really appreciate it. I thought maybe this is a joke going from back way back in the day, like something they were making a joke about, maybe some past, you know, things that he did, which is still awful. This was just complete worthless trash. I did not care for this at all.
Yeah, I mean, ODB and Rebel was hot garbage, but I for the first time since she's been on screen, I am interested in Laurel Van Ness. There's a part of, you know, of every human being that is always interested in watching a train wreck take place before your eyes, and watching her go slowly insane has actually been some really entertaining television. And maybe Maria leaving them to their own devices now has sort of been maybe the best thing for him, because now Sienna is sort of getting a chance to actually establish a character other than Silent Muscle, and yeah. Suddenly you have two more interesting knockouts on your hands.
Yeah, you're right, you know, for the fact that this one was a lot better. Before this, though, Paul, I completely hated it. I did not like it. I thought she could have been doing this in a different direction. You know, but I mean, for the most part, now where we're sitting here with Sienna's serious with her, explains things to her, and tells her to take the shower. That was funny. Now I'm okay with it. Now I'm in a little bit better shape because now hopefully we'll see her in different clothes and the story gets better. But for a while there, I thought they were just hanging on to old fruit and it was starting to rot and it was just boring. It meant nothing. Now, they took a long time to get to this point, but at least they're here. So, as long as it gets better, I'm game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shows character development for her, and that's what you kind of need, right? You need to see her get from being totally distraught to then becoming, overcoming that. So, you know, that's good, and hopefully we get that story, and it doesn't just get dropped like a lot of TNA things happen to do. So we get Laredo Kid, Garza Jr., and Mahawali Shura against Idris Abraham, Falaba, and Mario Bakara from Croatia. You can tell because he has Croatian stuff on his tights or his pants and everything else. I mean, this was fine. You know, Laredo Kid and Garth Jr. Get another win with Shira, I guess, getting to look good. And, you know, actually, I thought Shira looked decent here. Looked much more paler than I remember, but yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, this is more about making sure Garza and Laredo Kid look impressive and strong as they continue their hunt for the tag team titles. I didn't hate any of the new guys, really. They didn't get a lot of time to really show us everything they could do, but I think still at the same rate, though, they not making me hate you is something worth talking about.
Oh man, that's a positive. You know, this is okay. I mean, this is fine. You got to get the new talent in. You got to get in front of people's eyes so they can get used to them, right? That's what they're doing. I don't think they did anything to write home about. I don't think that they overly impressed me. But I mean, this is what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to get me used to them, get me understanding who these wrestlers are, what they're about. That's where we're at right now. Not a whole lot to say.
Yeah, and you also get Reno Scum against the Decay to continue the tag tournament thing. And this was another, you know, fine match here. I thought Reno Scum looked good. I love the double team double stomp thing. That was their finisher is awesome.
You know, I think it's good to get Reno Scum victories coming into TNA, Impact. We're going to say that forever. Impact Wrestling here. And you're getting this audience, once again, you know, reaccustomed to it, somebody who's brand new and all this kind of stuff and understanding what they're all about. I think that's good. Here's the bad thing. Why do they hate Decay? Like, what did Decay do to just... I don't know. I just kind of feel like Decay...
No, this was because of the tournament. This isn't...
I know. I'm just saying that I don't think they should have had these two square off right now. Like, later down the line, I get it. But right here, it's like, hey, Decay, you know... Because I felt like Decay should have been the strong point. Like, they should have been in the final. Because, you know, let's be honest, they've been in Impact for a while. I don't know. I think they should get more respect than they got. That's all I'm saying.
I think Decay are sort of in a rough spot because they're another one of those creations from the last administration. How much does the new team really like them, what they could do, all these other things. And at the same time, you're trying to establish a whole host of new talent, make them look strong, make them look like they belong. And ultimately, Reno Scum only win this because the Decay's antics sort of backfire on them and end up costing them the match after Rosemary missed Steve, and then sort of it goes downhill from there. So I think Decay are sort of protected in this. And ultimately, though, you have a point. Decay do have, you know, seniority, but I think the larger idea of establishing the new talent is where where Impact is going right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what they're trying to do here. You do get Cody and Brandi Rhodes showing up as Moose is making his entrance to do the Grand Championship match with Eli Drake. But, you know, before he can get there, Cody hits him with a chair and then hits Crossroads on the ramp. So that match is canceled. And next week there will be a Cody Rhodes versus Moose match for the Grand Championship.
Yeah, I mean, this is where this was all going, right? I mean, just more build for that.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the fact that, you know, Cody doesn't even give Moose a chance. And it's about this anger that he has towards Moose, and this is exactly what you would think somebody would do. If they really hated somebody, they'd attack him no matter where they are. Mm. So that's what you get here, and it continues on the feud. So I'm okay with it. Once again, though, I'm just going to point this out while I can, because, you know, in 2-3 weeks I can't keep pointing these things out. But Eli Drake, maybe another guy from the former administration that they're not so high on. Eli Drake kind of stands out there and gets nothing and looks very unimportant after this little incident. So,
yeah, he sure does. That's one of the things that kind of seems to be apparent from this whole ordeal. They don't really care for him or Tyrus, and perhaps they need to be finding somewhere else to go. At this point, don't know if that's available to them or not, but we shall see. I think aside from that, you have Lashley getting a sit-down interview twice with Bruce Pritchard. Lashley talks about being an athlete his whole life, all the things he's done. You know, Lashley looks really good in the sit-down interview. He talks about how he got injured because there was a bank robbery where he was. And I think he got hit in the knee or something, and it ruined his chance to be in the 2004 Olympics. So since then, he's kind of had a chip on his shoulder, and he's wanted to prove that he's still great. And that's kind of what he uses to drive him. He whoops up on a dude in Jake Holmes. And, yeah.
Another guy who was huge for the previous administration, maybe the best talent in Impact right now. And they seem to realize that. They want to utilize that. And I think they did an excellent job of showing that Lashley is still going to be around for a long time for Impact. And I mean, this guy's had such an interesting life now. I didn't know about the bank robbery thing. He has a military background, too, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got like just so many different things for him that keep him interesting.
Yeah, and the way this all, you know, goes when it comes to him giving his, you know, his thoughts about himself and telling his own history and all that, I think it was very well done. I'm not saying that Bruce Prichard is my favorite interviewer, because he's really not. But, I mean, outside of that, what matters is Lashley. And I think Lashley, man, honestly, if he wanted to turn into a babyface after this, it wouldn't hurt, because, I mean, he's definitely, you got emotion and you kind of put yourself in the shoes that he almost died, this guy, and all the hard work he's done to get where he's at and all this. I mean, him being a jerk for the last 6 days, you know, however long months, kind of went out the window watching this. And now you kind of root for the guy in a way. So, I mean, that's good. That's the way that you got to get people to understand who these people are. And Lashley is one of their biggest stars, so this matters a lot. And not only that, I mean, having that match, it kind of showcased that, hey, he's a top dog.
Yeah, certainly. So the whole show, they're promoting that there is a woman in a limo, as I stated already, and Josh Matthews makes a joke that every time there's some other woman that shows up, oh, there's the she, and JV's like, nope. And then we hear the familiar theme song of Jeff Jarrett, but it's Karen Jarrett that shows up. Oh, to my not so happy tones here. She now has blonde hair. She's much more toned down than we've seen her in the past. She's gets a big reaction from the fans, which is surprising. You know, she's a new woman, supposedly. She and you know, she is in charge, and we get fire Josh chants, which I totally concur with. Fire Josh, he is terrible. She thanks everybody. EC3 comes in, and he, you know, loves the energy here, and he, you know, he talks about being a locker room leader, and that he wants to help make Impact great again, and, you know, he's had to do a lot of things here on Impact, and, but, you know, the only way they can make, how about maybe they can make Impact great together? But he's not going to be doing it for the Jarrett name. He's going to be doing it for his last name. Ha ha. And then Josh comes in and says, oh, here's the evil queen, Karen Jarrett. And Jeremy Borash is the JV squad there with me on commentary. And bringing in the old dudes and Bruce Prichard and Dutch Mantel. And then he announces to the world that he is in fact married to Madison Rayne, but he doesn't say her name. Just says a 5-time knockout champion. And that, you know, it's only a matter of time before the Jarrett family is gone from Impact forever. And Karen just slaps him. And Josh just sits in a corner, all doe-eyed or whatever. But I guess Karen Jarrett is now an authority figure on the show. I'm just not amused.
I was waiting for this day for a long time from the second I read the taping so we could talk about this show so I could hear Sean's reaction. Because I knew it was going to be something along those lines. what matters here, though, is that the live crowd actually popped for her and seemingly was into everything she was saying. EC3, once again, showing you why he makes the big bucks in Impact. Best promo guy in that building every single time they show up. He crushed it. Josh Matthews, you tried, man. That's really all I can say. You tried. Nobody cares, though.
I mean, he brings up good points about bringing back the old guys or whatever, right?
Mm.
But it's just like, coming out of your mouth, who cares?
Yeah, nobody cares, exactly. He tried. They. It's not that his material was bad, it's just so much damage has been done to him on screen, and as far as people who watch the product every week, for however many thousands of us that's still left, you know, it's falling on deaf ears, because I haven't met a person who can stand the guy.
Their ratings did go up last week, so.
I bet you it wasn't because of Josh Matthews.
Oh, probably not, no.
Yeah. I just got to say, when I heard it was Karen, I knew this was coming. Not because I read spoilers, because I knew they couldn't help it. And in fact, I knew she couldn't help it. And if you watch her in, what is she doing? She's signing autographs, giving a hug. Oh, greatest of all time. You know, that's what she thinks she is. And here we go again. So no longer is it Impact Wrestling. This is Karen Jarrett Wrestling. Welcome, everyone. Hope you've enjoyed your stay and our terrible time here. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm really concerned. She'll probably be on every other 20 minutes in the show. I'm really concerned that they're going to be selling posters. Don West is going to be like, buy your Karen Jarrett poster for only $9.99. It's more than you pay for your James Storm t-shirt. But anyway, I think what we got here was proof that Karen Jarrett's going to be an authority figure. Yay. You got proof here that EC3 is amazing, but they're always going to shortchange him. So welcome to the second class row, EC3, because we're always going to interrupt you. You're never going to get to finish the sentence, and we're probably not going to book you in any matches. Congratulations. Until you change your name, good luck. And then Josh Matthews is doing his thing. It's going to be a feud of what? Him and Karen Jarrett, but Borash and him are going to do something together. I don't get this. What's the payoff going to be? You're going to fire the guy if he treats the boss like this. Are they really going to fire Josh Matthews? No, it's part of a story. So I have no idea where they're going with it. I don't know. If I was EC3, though, I'll say this. If I had him interrupt me, I'd just get rid of him. I mean, why would you sit there and just let this guy overtalk you? So I just didn't care for it. But I think the biggest reason is the fact that now I know Karen Jarrett's going to be worse than Dixie ever was. Good luck.
Jeez. But I kind of have to agree. Yeah. I mean, this is... I'm only waiting until this gets to the point where Jeff Jarrett has to show up back on TV again and... We're back to Impact. Let's go hit the retro machine. You know, yeah. Look, I'm glad that their ratings went up and that they're doing well. And look, the show overall was fine. There was some things, you know, like the ODB and Rebel mess or whatever, but just this, I still don't. This just seems like Impact still circling the wheels, right? Like, I still don't see, like, we're just really going somewhere, but look, they're 2 weeks into this rebuild. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to hate on the entire show. Like, they had some good points here. They really did. They give you new talent you're not, you know, accustomed to. They actually put some progress into some things that you didn't know that they would, but you're very happy that they are. And then there's other things. They just completely just take you out of it, and you're just like, is this company going to survive? So it's a very sweet and sour show, I'll say that.
I found myself enjoying this show, I think, more than I hated it. I'm still willing to give them a chance. The new talents have me interested. They're doing right by most of them so far. There are some sticking points here or there, but overall, I enjoyed the episode of Impact. Can't say that every week.
Yeah, that's true. That good point. So that is our Impact for this week. You know, of course, I'm I really do want to see next week. Hopefully I will enjoy it way more. And this wasn't bad, like I said. But yeah, that leaves us to do one last thing here, guys. We have to crown a superstar of the week. Yeah, that's right. We're going to do that right after this, guys.
Oh, that was dumb of me. I downloaded the thing and I didn't. I'll get it really quick. Hold on.
Yeah. I wish we had the Jeopardy music just on a cue. Just like, you know, I don't know. I can't even do the Jeopardy music right. Good God.
That would be amazing if we did.
Yeah.
Can we get popped for it, though? Is it free domain or?
Oh, yeah, we might get popped for that.
Well, technically, you can if you do it in short spurts. There, I've heard other podcasts use it. I listen to the Dallas Cowboys podcast. They use it all the time. It's just you can't play long versions of it. So
yeah,
I know the 10-second thing, but
yeah.
Let's see. Here we go.
Superstar of the week.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, Superstar of the Week, we'll start off by giving 1 point to The Miz.
Yeah. Myself and Gary talked a lot about how much we enjoyed The Miz's hidden Total Bellas episode moments from SmackDown this week. He was great in that, as well as Maryse, and absolutely deserves a point for recognition of how awesome those were.
And we got 2 points heading over to Jay Briscoe.
Yeah.
Which Paul
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jay Briscoe, main event ROH TV this week in a rematch with Jay White from their time limit draw. It's at just as good as their other match with Briscoe coming out on top. Absolutely worth your time to go track down, guys. It's a great match.
Yeah, definitely. Match. And Sean, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you want to say something about The Miz? I'm sure you really enjoyed those.
Oh, those were hilarious. It certainly grasped the stupidity of Total Bellas. Even though I will say there was a lot of actual, like, good stuff on there, like the stuff with Daniel Bryan and his depression or whatever. But, like, some of the stuff with Cena and Nikki is just really silly on that show. So they totally grasped that part. It totally seems like it is blatantly obvious that at the end of that match, Cena's going to propose to Nikki now. And I kind of hate it because it's like, now it's almost like we're doing it as a revenge thing instead of we're doing it because, you know, out of the love thing. It's just almost goes back to Miz's point, I think.
Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, it really is, and you know, we'll see, if they actually do that. So, we got 3 points heading over to Ishii.
Yeah, Tomohiro Ishii, arguably the MVP of the New Japan Cup tournament. No match below 4 stars for that man. His match with Shibata was absolutely incredible. Still one of the best this year. Absolutely, go check that out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, oof. Great stuff.
Awesome. 4 points will be given to the Usos.
Yeah, this is a pretty good match, and the Usos won the tag titles. So we have new tag team champions, thus giving the American Alpha an opportunity for rematch clause at WrestleMania, which you would assume is going to be a singles match because we already have a lot of other multiple person matches on the card.
And our superstar of the week, and the one guy that both these guys, Paul and Sean, will be wanting to talk about, Shibata.
Yeah, Katsuyori Shibata wins the New Japan Cup, challenges Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight title at Sakura Genesis. His match with Fale was good. His match with Ishii was phenomenal. An absolutely killer week for the guy, and absolutely deserves all the credit in the world that comes with winning that cup.
Completely agree with what Paul said, and Sakura Genesis should be amazing.
Huh. 5 points well deserved this week, and of course being Superstar of the Week for Shibata, that's awesome. Well, there you go, everyone. That is Superstar of the Week. We are now done for the show, and now sadly we're going to leave you, and we will be back next week. Don't forget, we'll be back on Tuesday morning on the download, and of course Friday morning on the download for part two of our regular Wrestling to the Max episodes. Of course, next week it'll be episodes 240. Yeah, I know, it's getting crazy. Those numbers are getting closer to 250 before you know it, we'll be hitting 300. But yeah, we got that coming up for you. Also, don't forget to go check out W2Mnet.com for all our other great content. Not only all the other shows we do, like all the review shows, but also some other great podcasts out there that you may not know about. So trust me, go check that out. Also, a great way to go and find out those is go to the W2M Network and subscribe if you haven't done that already. Also, if you just want our content, maybe you don't want a lot of stuff clogging up whatever you use on iTunes or whatever you use, Stitcher, just go search us out and go find Wrestling to the Max. Hit subscribe. And while you're doing all that, why don't you go ahead and rate and review? That gives us an opportunity to reach more people. And also, we like to get your feedback. So, you know, we appreciate everybody who's already done that and is going to do that in the future. And yeah, so pretty much that wraps us up for the plugs and everything. We hope everyone has a great rest of the week, and we will see you guys down the road. Until then, though, if you're not living life to the max,
not living life at all,
you know it.
Please.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.